I'm Gordon, and it's a privilege for me to be here with you. I'm an alcoholic, and I'm a participant of the program that the Salvation Army runs at the Canberra Recovery Services. I'm proud to be able to say, I might add. And Major Scott and Major Jackie have invited me to come along this morning to talk about, just for a little while, what we call Step 11. I guess you all know we follow a 12-step program of recovery. And Step 11 says that we sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for his will for us and the power to carry that out. So I'd like to give you my experience of the living of that step. And it is the living of that step because it's a constant thing for me on a daily basis. I pray by my heart rather than words. I meditate by shutting up and listening. And it's all about improving my constant contact with God as I understand him. Now, my understanding of God is exactly the same as yours. It's the triunion Christian God. And by prayer, I guess I mean, when I don't say words, I do, in the sense that I carry little cards like this around me and they're Bible verses, and I say those if I have a spare minute through the day. But I walk and breathe a prayer. Not long ago before I retired, I was working as the handyman at the Gungahlin College, and I used to do about 17,000 steps a day according to a pedometer I put around my ankle at one stage. So I thought, now how can I use that time for the glory of God? So I decided that every step was a prayer and every breath that I take is a prayer. Sometimes I don't understand what the prayer actually says other than to glorify God, but I'm sure the Holy Spirit does somehow or other. But improving my conscious contact is really about improving my awareness of God, the awareness of his awesomeness. By awesomeness, I don't mean it as a young people. I don't think I mean it as the young people do. I mean the unspeakable, inexpressible honour that he commands. And by the awareness of his holiness and by the awareness of his presentness, I believe, for example, that he's present here with us today, where two or three or more are gathered in my name. And I must comment on the quality of the congregation today. Jesus himself only had 12. And some would argue that one of those wasn't much good anyway. And I stand in awe or in conscious contact of his presentness, the fact that he is here present with us and in us, and of his lovingness. I firmly believe that the Lord loves me, and he proved that by doing something pretty nasty that none of us would want to do. And I'm aware of God as my Father and my brother, Jesus my brother, and as the comforter and the power within me. And I believe in terms of my brotherhood with Jesus, that I have the same DNA as Jesus. I have the same spiritual DNA as Jesus. So I put my life into the care of Jesus, and I have the faith that he has given me through grace to believe in the direction that he gives me. So when I pray for his will to be done in me, it's the direction for me and the power to undertake that direction. And while I'm here too, I'd like to say that the affinity that I have with the Salvation Army started through another addiction that I had, and that was smoking. And about 20 years ago, I used to stand on the gutter on the corner of Elizabeth Street outside the Citadel of the Salvation Army and have a cigarette before I went to the service. And there was a little man, he was only a short guy, I remember. He used to pull down the door of the car park every Sunday when I was there. I might add that this was after going to a Catholic Mass, so that tells you that I'm a bit of a schizophrenic Christian. But Jesus was too, I might add. He was a Christian and a Jew. So I'm a bit like him in that regard. But I think by that, I mean ecumenical. And my first faith is Christianity. My second or third, Catholic and Salvation Army. But anyway, this old guy used to come out and he'd say good morning. And one morning he came over and he said, "You're not a Salvation Army guy, are you?" And I said, "No." I said, "How do you know?" And so I'm rolling a cigarette. He said, "I can tell you're rolling a cigarette." And he said, "You know, it's a funny thing. It's cigarettes that took me into the Salvation Army." He said, "I fought on a place called the Kokoda Trail, or the Kokoda Track as we call it, and he said, "I was in a foxhole with a Bren gun, and I had a job to do, and I was scared stiff. And there was another fellow in that foxhole with me, and he was scared stiff too, I think. But he used to roll me cigarettes and pass them to me. And he was a Salvation Army chaplain." And he said, "From that time when I was demobilised, I joined the Salvation Army because I wanted to have what he had. And now I have it," he said, "and my job is still to pull that door down when people go into the service." And that man was known by a fellow called Merv that I worship with every Sunday out at the Gungahlin Corps. Some of you might know Merv, but Merv knew this gentleman well and used to work around King's Cross with him many years ago. The other appeal to the Salvation Army for me is what is probably on your flag out the front there, certainly in your emblem, and that's blood and fire. That to me means passion and sacrifice, and that's God's given me the grace to see the real meaning for that, I think, and that for that I'm very grateful. And lastly, I'd like to say that this book here is a recovery Bible. Now, I never knew anything about a recovery Bible until I met Major Scott and Major Jackie. And the Recovery Centre has given me that. And what it is, for those of you who are not familiar with it, and not many of you would be familiar with it, it relates the whole recovery program, the 12-step program of Alcoholics Anonymous, to the Bible. It's an absolutely fantastic book. And so that's another reason I'm very grateful for the Salvation Army and the Canberra Recovery Services. Well, thank you for listening to me, folks. I hope I've managed to convey what Step 11 of the 12-step program means to me. And I thank God for it.
Hi, I'm Dale. I'm an alcoholic and an addict. By the grace of God, I'm much more than that today. I'm a child of God. I'm a grandfather. I'm a father. Just a little bit of a rat bag. Just a little rot. Can accept that today. Step 11 for me it's personal. It's a personal relationship. When I came into the program, I had a faith in God, but I had religion. I didn't have really a trust in God, if that makes any sense. And I certainly wasn't open enough to seek His will for me in my life. One of my character defects is self-centeredness. Ignorance, arrogance, And there's many more to go with that. But I got to a point where I don't want to live that way. So I decided to get help. And the powers that be sent me down to Canberra Recovery Centre. And I'm glad they did. I spent 22 years in the Blue Mountains, where I was in and out of alcohol addiction, alcohol and drug addiction, for 36 and three-quarter years. I was raised as a Christian. My parents were Baptists. So as a child, I had a lot of head knowledge about God. And I had a faith to an extent. I had a faith. But I didn't really practice that faith. So I had religion. It wasn't personal. 4 years ago, or thereabouts, I gave my heart to the Lord. But there were still problems. I was still in and out of addiction. And for whatever reason, I just didn't get it. I learnt through Canberra Recovery Centre and through the program that addiction and alcoholism affects you spiritually, emotionally, mentally, and physically. And there's a lot of stuff that we've learnt there that I never knew, didn't have a clue. So, of course, I was just going through the motions and not getting anywhere, and it all fell apart and got worse, and gradually got worse over time, as it does. Today, I view the steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, Narcotics Anonymous, and what I've learnt in the recovery centre about the disease as a way of living. When I was in addiction and alcoholism, I wasn't living, I was barely existing. There were times I had some good times, yeah, but it didn't last. And in filling my body with drugs and alcohol to want to feel better, which is what I did, this is why I drank in the first place from the age of 10, it didn't work. I was filling the void with something that wouldn't work, you know. So as I trusted in God and have a relationship in God, that filled the void. The steps are a way of living, if you want to live. For somebody who's in addiction, or even for people who aren't in addiction, I think, you know, if people looked at those steps who aren't in addiction, you know, they would find a great way of living. Without it, it's existing. Without God in your life, it's not living. It's existing, barely existing, if you can call it that. And it's miserable. But today, with God, life's a blessing. Life has purpose. Life has meaning. Every day in the morning, I ask God for Him to make knowledge to me, His will for my life, every day. And often I don't know what that is. Sometimes I get hints of knowing what it is. Sometimes it's just to get through the day without using all the desire to pick up drug and alcohol. And for me, I'm very fortunate and blessed because that desire has left me and has had for some time. But I can't get complacent about that. Because if I do, then I'm on the verge to relapse and back where I don't want to go. And I'm very aware of that today. But it's also taught me other things. Being in addiction and alcoholism, I was an isolator. And I liked to be alone. Doing the program has taught me to be a little bit sociable. And I'm not sort of at a place where I'm really social at the moment, but I'm getting better. I'm getting more comfortable with trusting people. I'm getting more comfortable with asking for help. I'm getting more comfortable with being open with people. And I guess that's just where God's brought me through the program. And I guess trusting in him too is something that's come out of it for me as well. So life today is a blessing. Thank you.
Thanks, Dale. I think it's funny when Dale tells me he's an isolator, or you know, he's not outgoing, or he doesn't like really being around people. It's, my perception's always been the other way around, really. You know, like when I think of Dale, I still remember Dale coming. He got a book off me on prayer there one time, you know, and a few weeks later he brought it back and said, oh, that's all right, I don't need it now. I don't know really what that meant. I'd gather either he didn't like it, or I think he liked some of it and then that was enough. But, but you know, look, for me the steps are just, a wonderful structure for using in our lives. I don't care if you're an addict or not, you know, like I think from anyone's perspective, you know, like the first part of it is about just coming to an understanding of God, and then trusting him to forgive us for our sins and to just really pour our hearts out to him and tell him all of our faults and ask him for help. And really the last step, steps 10, 11 and 12, are just like the things that we do every single day of our lives, you know. Every day we evaluate the way that we treat other people, you know, and ask God for help to do the right thing, you know, and to live a good, holy life. You know, and step 11 to me is really just quite so important, you know, like that conscious contact with God, to be able to, like, you know, the mind of the world, and to create in our minds a godly way of process, you know, like to become more like God. So by making conscious contact with God is all about actually coming into a closer relationship with God. And, you know, like when I look at the steps, to me it's just a really important process. And then step 12 is about living it, going out there and shining our light to the whole world, you know, and letting other people know that this is a great way. This relationship with God is just such a wonderful experience to live daily with him and to share that experience with other people. You know, when I first thought of this, I thought of a couple of movies, and one's a recent one. It's called Edge of Tomorrow, and the other one's called Groundhog Day, you know. And in both those movies, there's these, guys are in general, we're sort of like not really good people, or we're jerks or whatever, you know, like. But what they do is that every day they keep sort of like waking up and it's the same day again, and they have to go through this process. And by the end of the movies, you see that you have these two people who have gradually sort of like through a searching process for themselves actually began to become better people. They actually begin to think differently. They actually can do what they've been trying to do better, you know. And so I think, you know, like anything from learning how to play a guitar or a piano, or learning how to, you know, speak a different language, that they've actually developed in their lives. And I think that by having conscious contact with God, we actually begin this same process of becoming better people, of allowing God to infill us to the point where we actually do change, that we actually do begin to experience, you know, a different way of thinking, to think like God. And so for me, I do believe that for us, step 11 is just like that. You know, to have that conscious contact with God, to get on our knees and say to God, look, I see all the things that I'm doing in my life, and some of them are so wrong. Some of them are good, you know, like, and I pray that you might help me to continue these things. But, Lord, you know, like I got angry or I got cranky, you know, today. help me to know how to be a better person. Help me how to treat people differently. You know, to put aside our old self. And I think Ephesians 4:22-23 says this: you are taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Well, that's really what it is to get that closeness with God, to seek Him out, to allow ourselves to be different people. You know, like, because if we don't do that, it's so easy with all the things in the world today to continually be corrupted, to allow ourselves to think bad things, or to maybe be critical of other people, you know. And I think that's just it. You know, sometimes we spoil something wonderful as life because we allow our hearts and minds to become critical. And I do believe that, you know, if we need to get rid of our old way of life, which has been corrupted by evil desires, we'll just continue to do that if we don't stop thinking about or filling our heads with rubbish. And I think that's a very important thing, you know, with people in recovery type work. And for all of us too, I don't care who we are, is that it's so easy to allow minds to be corrupted. But I do believe that people who've been in a process of addiction, that often, if they don't continue to look to improve and to develop and to become more like Christ, that eventually they begin to desire the old things again. And even though they know that it's harmed them in such a horrible way, you know, that it's created such destruction all around them, that for whatever reason is they begin to slowly begin to desire those old things again. And I guess we can do that too in our own lives. And so I believe that one of the things that we need to do in order to stop this process of allowing old things to enter back in again is that we need to be tapping into the resources that only God can give to us. And, you know, like, I just think it's very simply, like, I guess when we, you know, like, if you want to hear music, you've got to actually plug it in somehow. And I think it's great that you have people who want to sort of hear, you know, the messages that are done on a Sunday. It sort of freaks me out a little bit, you know, like, to think that I'm standing here talking and someone's going to listen to it and going, you know, like, I'm sort of thinking, oh, well, I hope they're not too critical here. You know, I was sitting down, like, evaluating it and going, well, that's not very good, you know, that's... but the truth is, you know, like, that people actually have this desire to want to, like, fill their hearts and minds with the things of God. You know, to be able to... I know that, you know, that people go to conferences and they get the CDs of all the messages and then they put them into the car and they listen to them. You know, like, I think that's great. On my phone, I've got these apps now, you know, like, and... I guess, like, for some people, if you don't have a phone or you know, with all the apps and all that kind of thing on them, you can do it the old way with your Bible and a devotional book. But on mine, I've got a thing called the Prayer Helper. And what it does is, you know, it sort of gives you, I guess, about three things that you can do in your prayer time. So I can whip it out any time I'm waiting for my son while he's... well, I'm waiting for him to finish work, and I whip it out, and I have a prayer time, you know. And so, first of all, I think it has a Bible reading, and I read the Bible reading, and then it has like a list of things to pray about, connected with the Bible reading. So I pray and you know, ask for God's presence, and then at the end of it, it says, you know, a family member to pray for, you know, and so. You add your family member in and you pray for your family member. Well, it's funny, you know, like, these little things can help us. Even on one of those apps, it's got a Bible, and connected with the Bible is the life application daily devotional. I guess what I'm trying to say is that, like, whatever it is, whatever we can use, whatever resource that is out there that can help us to tap into God, to plug ourselves into our thinking, into the things of God, then do it. You know, when I was younger, it was just quite simply like a recovery Bible, and that Gordon showed us before. It's funny, when I first came, they were using a different one. And gradually I'm thinking, well, I know we've got these Bibles here, but I'd really like to get the recovery Bible. It's more suitable and helpful for our people, you know. You know, and even if it does cost a little bit more, it doesn't matter, because I think it can help. But whatever resource we can find to plug in, to find that closeness, that spiritual wellness with God, then find it and tap into it. In order to do these things, I think maybe we need to be still and know that, and ask God that we could know Him more. You know, that quiet time. And I think even on Psalm 46:10, it says, "Be still and know that I am God." And it just highlights that in a world such as ours, you know, with TVs, and I guess it's what I've been trying to say, you know, just road noise, you know, phones. In my house, we have some fairly noisy birds, so it might be easier to maybe go somewhere else. But is it really hard for us sometimes to be still and to be quiet? And I know that Jesus often, you know, and I think there's a Bible read there, reading somewhere where Jesus went to pray. We have so many things that makes it hard for us to be still and quiet, and to actually ask God to come, to take the time to wait. I think that was one of those things in the books that I gave Dale, was, and I knew it was probably one of the hardest things for him to do. But, and maybe that's why he said he'd go back, I don't want to read that now. But I don't know, but but the message was quite simple. If you can just take even 10 minutes to be quiet and just say to God, "Look, I love you and I need you to be a part of my life," you know, you'd be surprised at that sense of God's presence just in that very short period of time. Yeah, you know. And how helpful is it, you know, just to be quiet and allow God to come, you know, to switch off from the things that are so easy. We fill our lives with noise because we're maybe afraid of it, of that quietness, or we're afraid to be alone. And then just finally, I'd just like to highlight that Bible reading that I was talking about, that Jesus himself would often set the example of the need to pray and to be alone in order to pray. And Jesus prays in a solitary place. I did this last time. I walked off without half my sermon. And Jackie says, they'd never have known, you know, if you didn't tell them. So true. What was that other Bible reading I had there on that list? There it is. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. And, you know, like, he set the example for us. I mean, I guess all around our place, you know, like, there's quite, you know, some beautiful areas where you can go and do that. For me, in the morning, I find that just that drive into work, you know, once upon a time I'd walk out the front door and I'd be at work. Now I get to drive for like 20 minutes or more, and just in that quiet drive I find that just that quiet place to say a few prayers. You know, and it's often, but I do think that it's important, you know, whether it's to, I think last week Jackie went on a camp, and before that she went on another spiritual camp with Vanessa. And I think, where the DC broke a hip. So that was a really good restful time, wasn't it? But yeah, look, I think it's important for us to follow the example that Jesus set for each and every one of us. And if he himself felt the need to go aside and pray and experience God's presence, I think it's also important for us. I know next week some of us are going away on a camp, you know, and sometimes people don't like to do that. But to actually be able to go away and in these times and just be quiet and experience God's presence is very important for all of us. And so I encourage all of you today that to look at those words, to take the time, you know, to pray. Pray is just plugging ourselves into the power of God. To meditate means that we need to actually stop and listen and just really seek God's presence. Take the time to experience him filling you and for his presence to come into your life and to change the things that we're thinking so that we're actually living really God's will every day by welcoming him into our lives and experiencing his presence. And so I just pray today that we might experience that presence of God so that we can go out and shine our light to the whole world around us. I think there was a video. Oh, yep.